Well, before we kick off the show, I think it would be a good time for us to just take a moment of silence in honor of the folks in Las Vegas and what has happened there this week. And we'll just leave it at that and move on to the show after the break.
Sounds good.
Now that we've got through the heavy stuff, now it's time to move on to the light and fun world of baseball.
Let's have some fun.
Yeah,
There's
so
enough
this is
heaviness out there. People aren't listening to this to be reminded of it.
no, we
so
just
we don't we won't even say what it is going forward.
Right.
It
we
we know
there's
what we're
no
talking about.
need. Yeah,
Rainbows and unicorns.
I know, I hear you. So this is episode 41 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. You're Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
Last time I checked.
John, last night I spent 3 hours going through Amazon reviews of my film Nowhere Girl, making snarky comments about people's reviews.
As you?
As you know what? As Amazon customer, I was
Okay.
a few of them alluded to the fact that it was the filmmaker doing it. Like one person wrote, like, I just wasted an hour of my life that I'll never get back. And I said, you think you wasted your time? Imagine how much time I spent making it.
So you're engaging with your audience.
I don't think it's actually engaging. I don't think it's like a social media thing. I think it because I don't think it's like, oh, look, someone commented on my comment. I don't think it quite works like that. It's more for people who come and see the review and then they can see my comment about the review or the comment. And sometimes I mean, I never said that I made the. Well, I guess in that case, I said I made the film. But in most cases, it's just like, oh, well, isn't it too bad that you can't understand how storytelling works?
Or good comedy when you see it.
Or, yeah, like one person was like, I never laughed once in this. There was not one funny moment in the entire film, 1 star. And then I was like, so I wrote something like, really? Not one funny moment in an hour and 40 minutes, you didn't find one thing funny. That says something bad about you.
Right, I would agree. It's like it sucks to be you, pal.
Yeah. And then the other one I loved was I'm giving this 1 star because I can't give it -2 stars. Like I'm sorry my film gave you AIDS, man.
Right.
So I
Well,
replied something with like, haha, joke's on you. You have to give me at least 1 star.
yeah, there's no such thing as a zero. I get something. You're forced. I think it's funny too, is that when you have people like you've done a documentary film, I've done a documentary film, and when people write comments about the acting in a
Yes.
documentary, I'm just like,
Yes.
really? Do you understand the concept of a documentary?
Yeah. Like, I feel like Amazon should automatically, like, down credit that person's review.
Right.
Like,
Right.
let's just take it a grain of salt. Like, maybe they have like a grain of salt setting. Like, this person
Right.
gave it a 1-star review, but grain of salt, he's kind of a dummy.
Well, when you think about it, though, is the amount of data being collected on the individuals using social media and all these different types of login websites, they
Yeah.
know there's a profile information out there on them. There should be a little like a little box when you're when you after you're done reviewing and that says this person is, you know, a little bit crazy. This person has a strange, whacked out belief system. This person has no joy in their life.
Right?
That
This
would help.
person was not loved by his parents.
Right.
Look, I'm just saying, if a person always gives 1-star reviews, doesn't that diminish the 1-star review that
They're
they
living a
give?
1-star life, I would
Yeah. And
assume.
also,
Yeah.
I can't say this enough, John. For people out there reviewing stuff, please know that a 3-star review, which generally you would think, like, oh, 3 stars, 3 out of 5, that's good. No. In the internet age, a 3-star review is a negative review.
Is it?
Think about that next time. Next time you're out there putting a review on Yelp or on TripAdvisor or whatever, or if you go to Amazon and you're going to review Nowhere Girl, a film by Jed Rigney, a 3-star review is considered a negative review. So there's 5 options, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars. 3 of them are considered negative. What kind of math is this, John?
Yeah, that's not good.
hey, look, I'm not expecting everyone to love the film, but the guy who just thought it was good and like, hey, it was worth watching, 3 stars. Like, that's negative?
Who has established 3 is negative?
It just says it's listed as a negative review.
Oh. Yeah. That sucks.
That sucks. That sucks big ones, John.
I think part of it, too, is we've talked about this offline before, is that there are certain people that do have campaigns for whatever reason. Well, they'll be on a Reddit thread and be like, this movie sucked. Hey, all my friends, go and downgrade it.
That's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think people should be allowed to do that.
Yeah. That's no good. I know for a fact that that happened with ours, because some of the people that did it made comments that had nothing to do with the film. So it's like, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, 420-69, love 69, bust a nut, sent me here. And hey, bad review. I'm giving this a bad review. Ha ha.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are
great.
But you know, at the end of the day, when people are talking about it, I even had some people who were, you know, will comment about, I don't know why people are saying this is such a bad film, regardless of what the film is. Watch it for yourself and formulate your own opinion.
Right.
And people will do that. I just love the bloggers and the podcasters who have gone on for an hour to talk about Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story, since we are shilling our films. And trash it and then tell people to go and watch it. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a good thing. Just keep doing that. Trash it as much as you want. And we're fortunate that we've never had, I shouldn't say never, but the reviews of us as filmmakers making the film hasn't been the question. The subject matter has been the question. And I think that happens a lot with documentary films anyways, right. That you're either in or you're not on the subject matter. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you watch it and talk about it and tell people that they should watch it because it's horrible, I don't care. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. Watch it. Love it.
Yeah, that's just money in the bank.
Yeah. So here we are again, starting off a show, not talking about baseball for the first several minutes. But
we're not talking about it, John, and that's the most important thing.
And that's, we're trying to take everybody's mind off of it. And by it, we're talking about Tom Petty.
Ooh.
That's another
story.
Stop
dragging my heart around. Ooh. Yeah, that was brutal. Weird too. I don't want to get into that really, but great man, great musician, gone too soon.
I think the big unfortunate thing with that is that, oh, he passed away. Oh, no, he didn't. We're not quite sure yet. And that was a LA Police Department issue, right?
I think it was a TMZ issue, and then it became a police department issue, and then...
Because they apologized. I guess somebody that's an insider at the police department tipped off TMZ a little premature.
Yeah.
Sounds like, and that's that. We don't need that. Yeah. That's not good.
Also, someone should be fired. Why does this stuff get leaked?
The internal investigation over that, and yeah, that was a shocker.
I have an interesting thought for you, John. This will bend your needle. He's 66-year-old guy, right? Still could have kept going for another 10, 20 years easily, right? Had cardiac arrest, whatever. The cardiac arrest for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, obviously the irony is not lost, but it's tragic.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, you know, because sometimes when there's a really stressful event, it can trigger something like this. And I wonder if it might have had a hand in it.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I know a lot of people were like really upset about it and stayed up very late the night of it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was around the same time, right?
Yeah. It was early the next morning.
Yeah.
Anyway, what a great musician who really, what a wonderful contribution to culture and America. And
he's one of the few rock and roll stars that you can't say really anything bad about.
Yeah, like even his early use of the Confederate flag, he later denounced and was like, what a mistake. And however you feel about that flag, I apologize if you think it's awesome. It ain't. Mm-hmm. It looks cool, though, I will say. And I know it tended to shift to meaning more like Southern pride than actual Confederacy.
Right.
I mean, hell, the Dukes of Hazzard, for crying out loud.
Right.
And
it was okay then.
It was okay, and it's become more, you know, more...
As most things have over the last 15, 20 years, politicized.
Exactly.
Yeah, not even 15, 20, 10, 5, 10 years.
But he's always great. He shows up in films, you know, doing little parts. He wasn't a great actor, but he was always very Tom Petty-ish, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
And his videos in the late 80s and early 90s were phenomenal.
I mean, what's the one, I remember, is it Don't Come Around Here No More? Is that
great
the one?
Video. Spectacular.
That was
video.
One of the first videos where I was just like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? Yeah. Like, this is incredible. And it's not really my kind of music, but it didn't matter. Like, that was the whole spectacle was worth the experience.
Yeah.
Not that anyone cares what I think.
But. Tom Petty, you will be missed.
He will be remembered.
He will be remembered. And brilliant. It's fortunately that he was tied to it.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that, you know, my wife and I were working at a coffee shop, and she was like, you know, like, oh my God,
what, as
are
a
you
barista?
Kidding me? No, working. Wait. Yeah, that's how we pay the bills.
John, we'll set up a GoFundMe here, man. I had no idea.
No. Hey, can
you make me a latte real quick just while we're...
a poor man's latte?
Give me a poor man's latte. Well, I'll make that myself. That's why it's
coming
a poor
right
man's
up.
Latte.
Coming that's right it. Up. No, and she had seen it, and it was like, really? Are we piling on today? What is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just was not good.
Not fair.
And then in the baseball world, was the end of the season.
The end of the season. Everything wrapped itself up fairly uneventfully.
Yeah, this was probably the most unclimactic end of the season in recent memory. I can't recall a season that didn't have a little bit more other than one. You know, the Yankees-Red Sox thing wasn't really a race. It was more a matter of...
It was just such a big lead. It would have been like, oh, I wonder if they'll completely fall apart and force a playoff. But yeah.
And then when they did, if they did, then that would have been like, holy shit, that happened. How did that happen type of thing? And that's cool. And we're going to have the one game playoff between these two storied franchises. That would have been kind of cool. But then it didn't happen. And then it became super anticlimactic.
Interestingly, all five of my fantasy baseball leagues, yes, five, which may seem like a lot to some people, but that's not a lot to some other people. All five of mine were determined a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Also very uneventful, just sort of like, you know, few adjustments here and there in the standings. But basically, of course, I won three of them.
Of course you did.
And came in second in two of them.
So 3-2 is not bad. Three stars.
That's a negative review.
You should have done better, Jed. Next year. There's always next year.
I didn't understand the ending. One star.
Next year, we'll go get him. Go get him, Jed.
Hey, you know what? Next year, I'm going 5 for 5.
That's good. Those are good goals. I'd like to go 1 for 1.
I will say last year, I was 4 for 5. So technically, 3 for 5 is down.
Off year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
Did you rake in? Are they all money leagues?
Two of them are money leagues. And as you know, one of them is money league. And the other one, I fell apart a little bit and only walked away with $100.
For all your efforts, for all that work?
Yeah.
You'll never get that time back.
I don't want it back, John. It's tainted now.
It's spent. It's only 100. So starting today, and we're recording on Tuesday morning, playoff start.
That's right. And this will be up on Thursday-ish?
No, I'm going to get it up today. I'm going to get it up today. That's the goal, is to have it up
before
the game
starts. So
then
we got the wild card games, right?
Yeah.
And have you seen all this kerfluffle about, oh, the wild card system needs to change?
No.
That's the new talking point. The wild card system needs to change.
What?
Because the Diamondbacks and the Yankees won their wild card spot by so many games, it needs to change. It's not fair. It's not fair, John.
Well, it used to be the best teams with the best records were in the playoffs. So that's kind of still the same thing, isn't it? You win your division, you're in the playoffs.
What I would love is two leagues, American League, National League, and then two divisions east-west on each.
That's what they used to be.
That's what I would like. And then you put in as many teams as you want. You have the division winners and then the best records after that. That's what I would like.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would like them to add two new teams, which is my preferred way to go, then do four division winners and just have that be that.
Just the four, yeah.
Yeah. No wild card, just four division winners.
So you're in on this change scenario, the kerfuffle.
I just think the system they have now is fine. I don't care. Like, yeah, should the wild card winner have to have it? Should it be hard for them to? Yes. They should have to burn their best pitcher in order to go face the team with the best record in baseball.
Yeah, to me, the solution is win more games. And you don't have to do
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. If the Yankees didn't want to do a one-game wild card, hey, I got an idea.
Division, right?
Win the division.
Yeah, to me, that there's no argument from me on that. I think it's fine just the way it is. I love the fact that they added the wild card game. It adds a little bit more excitement.
Yeah.
So, you know, and without that, there would have been really no drama whatsoever in the last weekend of the season.
Oh, yeah. The last almost week and a half, it would have been like, well, they're not mathematically eliminated.
Right. Then you're like, oh, if we win our last 10.
Yeah.
It could happen.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
I went to the Yankee game on.
I saw that photo. On Facebook.
I don't remember, was it Friday or whatever? They had a 1 o'clock game and my schedule just sort of opened up and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go up to Yankee Stadium and go to a baseball game. And tickets for, we'll say drastically reduced. I paid $8 for my ticket. Yes, $8.
Wow, that's unheard of.
And there was very few people there because they'd already clinched their playoff spot. And Tanaka was masterful. I think
15 Ks, right?
15, was it 15 total? Man, he was just 15. The Blue Jays were just swinging at everything. It was gotta say, I've been to Yankee Stadium before, the new Yankee Stadium. The best pizza place there. New York tradition, everyone knows pizza, right?
Mm-hmm.
New York pizza. You've heard of New York style pizza, right?
Sure.
The best pizza place at Yankee Stadium is Papa John's.
So that's a negative review? That's a 3-star review?
To quote the alt-right, or as they prefer to be called, new right, imagine my shock. Anyway, that's what they say a lot.
Did you try any of the other pizza, or there was no other pizza?
No, there's no other pizza. There's just Papa John's.
Papa John's. That makes no sense. But outside of the stadium, there's tons of places.
Well, of course, but I'm not outside the stadium when I'm inside
in
the stadium.
Right. A little pregame meal.
Yeah, I wound up getting like some chicken strips.
Mm.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you know what I'll do? I'll find like a delicious like chicken parm sandwich. That would be delicious.
Not to be found.
Well, there is a booth that sells chicken parm sandwiches, but not during day games.
Well, it was like me going to the Mariners. We went to the Saturday, a week ago Saturday, was their final homestand. And I said to my wife, I want to go down there, get there early, watch a little BP, soak it all in. And we get there, and because it was a day game, there was no BP. So we're there, you know, an hour and 45 minutes before first pitch and nothing going on other than grooming the field for an hour.
You just lay down and take a nap.
Yeah, we kind of roamed around a little bit and, just soaked it all in. But it was Oktoberfest, and they had the Lederhosen and mountain horns.
Oh, that's fun.
And, so we had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I had fun at the game because I love going to baseball games, right? And, I mean, whatever, I'm watching the Yankees versus the Blue Jays. What do I care? But it was nice to get out in the middle of the day, and it was a little weird to go by myself, but I have actually been to a baseball game myself before. I think many years back, I went to Fenway Park by myself. Of an odd health emergency that suddenly popped up and the guy I was going to go with was unable to go. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go by myself.
I've been to numerous games by myself and primarily because I used to travel quite a bit on business.
Oh, yeah.
And I would always try to time it around homestands for the city that I was in.
Oh, that's fun.
And I was fortunate enough to, not some of the newer parks, just back in the 90s and early 2000s, went to, I think it was like 21 different ballparks. At that time.
Oh, that's great. Of course, at that time, like 15 of those were basically the same stadium, just in different
cities. I was a little bit beyond. Well, it was more the copycats of Camden Yards.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of those, but there's great ballparks. PNC Park is amazing. Yeah. AT&T Park is amazing. San Diego Petco is awesome. Did finally, one of the last games I went to on my travels was to Dodger Stadium. And that is, it had just gone through one of its, it seems like every other season renovations. And it still looked a little dated because it's nothing like the newer parks, but it's such a massive footprint that stadium is in, and the 5 levels. And it's kind of crazy that you come up from the back and you go down into the stadium, which is kind of cool.
Wait, you come up from the back and what, John?
And go down into the stadium.
Oh, okay.
That's a euphemism.
So you come up from the back and then you go down.
Right. Right. It's called a surprise attack.
Okay, got it. Got it.
So anyway.
Wait, are we talking about baseball? Because I thought we were trying to stay on baseball.
We're shooting the breeze about anything and everything. So we're kind of off script a little bit here today.
Oh, we were going to talk about the playoffs a little bit, right? So
playoffs
should we do
starting?
Like picks or something? Or?
Well, I went into the baseball archives at ESPN to see what all their picks were. And it's interesting how lopsided it is on who they pick. So they have the Yankees over the Twins. This is 26 writers to 4. Diamondbacks over the Rockies.
That's four dummies.
Yeah, 25 to 5. Five dummies on that one. Let's see.
I would say the Rockies have a much better chance of beating the Diamondbacks than the Twins do of beating the Yankees.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The Indians, 30 to nothing whitewash no matter who they play. Astros 26
who do they play? Do they play the Yankees. Wild card?
Yeah, they play the Yankees, most likely.
Right, they wound up with the better American League record. That's right. Okay.
So 30 to nothing in the everyone picking the Indians. Astros 26 to 4 over the Sox. And then in the
that feels a little high. 26 to 4, that's the same odds that the Twins have against the Yankees.
Yeah, I know.
Shouldn't it be a little bit more like 20-10?
I think what's tainted that was the weekend series in Boston.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit skewed that a little bit more.
Now I know I've got to run away. It's tainted love, man.
Okay, Dodgers over the Diamondbacks, 20-10. That one's a little closer. Nationals over the Cubs, 20-10.
Wait, I'm sorry. The Dodgers over the Diamondbacks is 20-10, and the Astros over the... All right, anyway.
Nationals over the Cubs, 20-10. And then we have Indians over the Astros, 18-12. And then in the... So everybody was... It was unanimous that it would be the Indians and the Astros.
Yeah.
In the league championship series. But over in the National League, we have 12 people picking the Nationals, 10 picking the Dodgers, 5 picking the Cubs, and 3 picking the Diamondbacks.
Huh.
So it's basically what they're saying is that it's up for grabs a little bit.
You know why they're picking the Diamondbacks, though, right? So they can be the guy who's like, oh, I picked the Diamondbacks. Look, I picked it.
I used to do that.
No one's going to remember that you didn't pick it.
I used to do that when I used to do the picks for the Through the Fence baseball. I would always pick one kind of out there pick just to see.
A moment of silence for Through the Fence baseball.
Yeah. but our podcast still lives there.
That's true. Keeping it alive.
There's a faint
hasn't
heartbeat.
Quite gone into cardiac arrest.
No, not quite.
Sorry,
yet.
That's inappropriate. I apologize. Sorry, Tom Petty.
So I kind of agree with the majority of the ones. We talked a little bit about this last week in the Are You Buying It part, and it's pretty much in line with what everyone thinks is going to happen. Yeah. But
I think it's most likely Dodgers versus Indians. I think that's the most likely scenario, but it's baseball.
And then they have for the World Series, 16 people picking the Indians, 7 the Astros, 4 the Nationals, 3 the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So I think it looks like it's going to be Nationals or the Dodgers.
Well, the American League is the dominant league.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, by far.
And the Indians pitching, I think, was set some record for wins above replacement. Like, it's the best pitching staff in the history of baseball.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Not really sure what metric they were using. I just kind of saw the headline and read the first couple sentences. But they were like, yeah, you thought this pitching was very good? You're right. It was very good. As a matter of fact, it was the best. Which reminds me a bit of the Cubs last year, where the Cubs had the best defense in the history of baseball.
And now they've dropped to like 56th best.
Yeah, but they just completely flatlined. Or not completely flatlined, but they completely fell back to earth, right? Because you have to, because it's baseball.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, with the Nationals and, people all high on the Nationals, you have Bryce Harper coming off his injury, and he looked fine on Sunday.
No, it doesn't look good.
What was that?
No, he doesn't look good. He hasn't played a full game yet.
He played 7 innings.
He hasn't. John, he went, and where's the home runs?
He went all out on one play from first to home, which I'm sure terrified Dusty Baker and Rizzo. It was like, slow down, stop at third. What are you doing? But then you have Max Scherzer with his tweaked hamstring
that's apparently a
low-grade tweak, but we don't know how long he's going to be out until he's ready to pitch, and are they going to push him? And that's going to be a big part of it. So yeah. Interesting to see how that all plays out.
So what's this? Strasburg moves to the number one spot.
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah, and then Gio Gonzalez having the career year. I still can't believe
that.
That
feels like a house of cards, man. That feels like just trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
So the other, probably the weirdest news in baseball this week was...
In a way, it's kind of the biggest news.
The GM?
Yeah.
Braves GM, John Capoluola.
This is
Capoluola.
Kind of a huge deal.
Yeah, especially if... the articles that I've seen so far have not really gone into the details or shared really what he did, but it sounds like it was premeditated and an intricate system that, as this unravels, is going to be not a good thing for baseball.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a
do we say what the story is, or are we just both reading?
He resigned for how he had been managing some international player signings.
Yeah,
but there isn't a lot of detail as to what.
There's
it
not
was
a lot of detail yet, exactly. So
yeah, but he was being investigated by baseball, and John Hart said, if it's not the MLB way, it surely isn't the Atlanta Braves way.
Right.
And goodbye to Capoluola.
Yeah. This feels a little bit like, to me, like the NCAA thing we were talking about, where mm-hmm. it's like, and we talked about this before, I think when I went off
the Red Sox.
My whole quinceañeras diatribe from a few weeks back.
The gangs of quinceañeras.
The gangs of quinceañeras running around. Like, these are impoverished people. And I feel like there's a way that, like, you want to have rules in place, but like, when the end result is a poor kid in the Dominican getting $1 million or getting some sort of finance, like, how can you? I just feel like it's weird to regulate that too much. That's what I feel.
Yeah. And when you think about it, though, too, is that you have every team has development camps in every one of these Latin countries, these powerhouse countries. So they're building these facilities. Individual teams are building these facilities to help develop players so that they have an advantage, scouting and stuff like that. So there's a lot of money being put into it, and it should be, a benefit to the player at the end of the day. It's more a matter to me is if they're doing things that put them in a better position against other teams.
Yeah.
And I, again, don't know enough about it to know what it was that he did, but
I don't know. The Padres general manager didn't resign after all those shenanigans he did with the fake medical reports and all that stuff.
So this might be really bad then.
I feel like this is going to be like a bad thing. Like, when all of it comes out, it's going to be like, oh, or maybe it'll just be like the Red Sox thing 2 years ago where it was like, or a year and a half ago where it was like, oh, well, yeah, okay, well, everyone kind of does that. So you don't want us to do that anymore? Okay, we won't do that anymore.
Right. But we'll make an example of the Red Sox.
The packaging,
Sox,
right? That's what it was.
Yeah. So we'll see. This one will be interesting to follow as it unravels and we learn
and
more
so
of
the
details.
When John Hart was saying it wasn't the Atlanta Braves way, was he saying that he didn't have the public fund it? He didn't have the public fund their unnecessary actions?
Development, right.
Is that what it was?
Probably.
That's the Atlanta Braves way I know. Hey, we got a new stadium. All right, good. Start the works on the next one.
Right. Yeah, like we needed another one 15 years later.
Got to get another one. The other one, you know what? It just wasn't right. That's why we weren't winning games.
Well, the main thing there is a location issue, I think.
Is it?
Oh, I think
was
the reason
the location issue of the previous stadium that they got publicly funded, there was a location issue that research wasn't done as to whether, I'm sorry, you build a stadium in the wrong place, that's on you. If you don't have to pay for it, that's on you, man.
Well, that one was built for the Olympics and converted for the Braves, so it was not necessarily a Braves decision. But, that...
I would say it was a very cowardly's decision.
Ah, those Braves. I think the reason why they went to the north side, which... to me is, one of the reasons I remember seeing some statistics is that there were the greater population of Braves fans were on the north side of the city.
You know, also would be good is if they went to the side where they were winning games and not running their team terribly.
Well, now they can because they have a new stadium. So everything will get better.
Oh, I see.
Because that worked for the Marlins so well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of the Marlins, and we'll get back to some of these other two, Giancarlo Stanton didn't quite get to the 60 home runs, and he kind of tailed off after hitting, what, like 12 and 18
home
runs.
Were they having him bat leadoff, I read somewhere?
They were going to. Maybe they did on Sunday, but yeah, there was some talk that he would do it the whole weekend so that he would get an extra bat or two. But, yeah, the pressure was definitely on. He was feeling it. His last at-bat, he was up there hacking and swung at a pitch that was up and in that was a ball, and that was the end of that. So it was a nice little run.
Great recovery for him. We've talked about him a lot. I think we're both big fans of the athleticism there, the skill. It's really quite a thing. I'd be very curious to see where he winds up getting traded, because now he has said...
Yeah, he's fed up with losing.
Yeah. And basically, he was like, he doesn't want to be part of another rebuilding process. Now, he is the one that signed the 12-year, $30 million a year contract. So he will have to go home and cry himself to sleep on his big money pillow.
Right.
But he does have some leverage because he can opt out after 2020. Is that right? 2020? So that's 3 more years?
Is it 2020? I don't know if it's 20. Yeah, it was 5 years.
And then
years,
is he going to opt out? Like,
well, the bigger thing is the unheard of thing during the Loria era is that he had a no trade clause. That was never something that Loria, he's the first player that Loria ever allowed that for.
Right.
And he doesn't want to go. So he pretty much has leverage in that
scenario.
You know
what it's a little bit like with Loria? It's a little bit like when you rent a hotel room for a while. And then you just like, you know what? I'm just going to take a dump right on the floor because housekeeping will just clean it up. I remember when Stanton signed this contract, I was like, this is like the dumbest contract. There's no way the Marlins are going to be able to deal with this.
And it was probably, it could be the brilliance of Loria. I hate to even say that statement. That he kind of premeditated the whole thing, knew when his exit strategy was and when he wanted to get out, and did that to kind of revitalize fan support, which really was negligible, if measurable at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a linchpin asset, you know?
Sure.
But is it?
Because my understanding is that contracts like that are actually problems for sales. Because it's such a burden. It's a $300 million commitment from now on.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, it's only going to get worse after next season with Machado and Harper are going to get sick deals.
Yeah, see, what I would do, because what we're talking about, we're talking about the Dodgers, we're talking about the Yankees, we're talking about the Red Sox.
Cubs.
Maybe the Phillies, the Cubs. So you're talking about 5 teams and 3 all-star, it's beyond all-star. Like, these are superstar players. Everyone says that Harper is going to the Yankees, though, funny enough, they just don't have room for him, but they'll make room. The Red Sox are interesting to me for Stanton because they need a DH. He's not a great defender, and they don't need a great defender. And you could put him in left and put Benintendi in center, and then Bradley Jr. plus a top prospect could be enough to, plus eating all the money, or, you know, taking on all the money.
Absolutely have to move him to left field in Boston.
Yeah.
He could not play right field in Boston.
Well, also, Mookie Betts is the best outfielder in baseball in right field. So you don't want to mess that up, I don't think.
Yeah. And Stanton would hit 60 home runs easy.
Right. Pull the ball a little bit more and just I'm just going to aim for that short wall over there.
And a lot of doubles.
Yeah, a lot of doubles. Anyway, I think the Marlins need to trade him. I think they will trade him, but it'll be interesting to see, because I know you probably can't have Stanton and Machado on your team.
No.
So you're if you get Stanton, you're kind of saying, all right, well, we're out on those other two.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting, to see, Stanton holds the cards right now. And will dictate where he goes. He's going to definitely say, if I'm going, I'm going to a winner.
So probably not the Phillies, right? So let's leave them off the list.
Yeah, I don't think...
And probably not the Giants. If he can say no trade, why would he go to the Giants? A, that is a terrible team now.
Mm-hmm.
With no farm system and very limited resources, which they would be using up to get him. And then He's going to hit less home runs at that park because it's a bigger park.
Yeah. And the Phillies would make sense in the sense of they have a lot of young players that are tradable assets. They have enough young players. They're going to be a good team in, 2 to 3 years. So it makes a little bit of sense there. Plus it's a bandbox.
Right. But does he want to keep losing?
Right.
Like if you can waive your no trade clause, why would you not say, I will go to the Yankees, I will go to the Red Sox, I will go to the Cubs, I will go to the Dodgers. Those are four teams that are going to keep winning for the next 5-10 years.
And they all have stock farm systems.
Yeah.
So those are the four, in my opinion, leading candidates for any potential trade. And the rich will keep getting richer, and the Marlins need a haul. There's a chance that the Marlins, if they're going to blow it up, they should blow it all up. Gordon should be gone. And the entire outfield will be gone. Yeah. If they do that, then I think they have a chance in 3 to 5 years to be
Astros.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything against that because the only way that they can become competitive, because they have a great offensive team. Their starting eight is good. What they need is three arms in the rotation and two in the bullpen. That's a lot to ask for.
So that means they need like 15 arms in the minor leagues.
Right.
That's how the attrition is.
And they don't have it. And they just don't have that at all. Not even close. So, if they wind up trading those four players, they're going to get 10 to 15 minor leaguers in return.
Yeah.
That would be a huge step in the right direction in restocking their system.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Well, it's going to be interesting. We got Terry Collins resigning as Mets manager and moving into a front office position, apparently.
Yeah, it was a little bit like, you can't fire me because I quit. They were like, we're not going to bring you back as the manager. And he was like, that's okay because I resign.
It seemed like there was a lot of back and forth on that in the last week about, whether he would be back and that he deserves another chance. And Alderson was very supportive of him. And Wilpon was very supportive of him. But not really. It just was weird how they were like, it's Terry's decision. And
very
then all of a sudden, then all of a sudden in the last 2 or 3 days, it was like, it looks like Terry Collins could be out. So as soon as he caught wind of that, he's like, I'm out. I'm resigning.
Yeah. I don't really have much of an opinion about him. I can't quite get a beat on whether Mets fans are sad to see him go or think it's a good thing. As much as I follow baseball, for some reason, he's just one of those people that sort of slipped through the cracks. So, I guess he's not terrible, right? Because no one complains about him like Matheny.
It's a 500 manager.
Yeah.
So,
but didn't he get him to the World Series?
He did. Playoffs 3 years in a row, which
almost counts for something.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is that they're getting rid of Dan Worthen. Now, Worthen is the guy who came up with the Dan Worthen slider, or the Worthen slider, which is the extremely hard sliding. By sliding means it kind of moves across from the pitching side. It's a harder thrown slider than most people throw, and they're getting rid of him after a year where a lot of arm problems for the pitching staff of the New York Mets. So maybe they think there's some correlation there to this Worthen slider, which, when people started throwing it, DeGrom and Thor and Matt Harvey was like, wow, look at this. These guys are unhittable. And look, we got to the World Series. But I think there may have been some interplay there with this slider that may have caused some of this damage. Not have been completely unrelated.
Wasn't Syndergaard the one who said he wanted Worthen to be his pitching coach for the rest of his career?
I don't know. It's very possible.
Yeah, I think that was one of the quotes as an endorsement.
Yeah,
I believe it was Worthen that he was talking about.
Yeah. He thought he was Worthen the trouble. On our next segment.
Speaking of departures, Hosmer, Kane, and Escobar, and Moustakas, so four players, all left their final game in Kansas City. I guess they pulled them out of games early, both on Saturday and Sunday, so the fans could give them a little bit of applause and show a little love.
And I'm no big fan of Ned Yost, but this was a sweet move.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I'm not a Royals fan or anything, but I just thought this was great. Like, these guys got Kansas City a World Series. You got to figure three of them are leaving, right? Like, maybe they mistakenly signed one to a long-term contract.
Right.
Which one would you keep, John? Which of those three, four guys would you
me,
keep?
To me, if I'm one of those four guys, I would... Kane's... I mean, she's really none of them. I wouldn't really... If I was to say keep one, I think as four, they're good. But as one individual, one by themselves does me no good. I'd rather go and find somebody younger, develop, trade, sign a couple of medium level people for the same three medium level people for the same money.
Maybe I wasn't clear about my question, John. If you had to sign one of them.
I wouldn't. There's not one. I would not.
Like, here's the thing. If you, the question is, who would you sign? It's if you had to sign one of them. You have to. That's the scenario. John, you are not a GM.
I'm going Kobayashi Maru on this. And,
yeah, but you're not the GM. You're going to start eating an apple? What is even going on here? You're not really a GM. I'm putting you in a hypothetical scenario where you are a GM, but you have to sign one of them.
But my point is that why spend a lot of money to keep one of them? Because it'll take a lot of money to keep them when the team's going to suck no matter what with just one of them.
I will murder you.
If I had to,
Kirk was suspended.
Right, that's what I said.
Pulling the same crap. So good, you're suspended. Fine, you're suspended as the GM. I'm the GM. I'm going to sign Eric Hosmer.
I would go with Kane to
What? Now you're answering the question. You've already been suspended.
Hosmer's a defensive liability.
Absolutely. Make him DH. He's fan favorite.
Yeah. Moustakas had a good year, but I think it's an outlier.
Feels like a little bit of a bubble. My concern about Kane is the injuries, and I don't think Escobar is a good 32. Player at all.
Yeah, that's my biggest issue with Kane. He's you're going to sign him to. He's going to demand and probably get a 5-year contract. And at 32, that's risky for a speed guy.
I feel like he's going to wind up getting a Dexter Fowler deal.
He's going to be Alex Gordon in 2 years.
Oof, John, that is the nastiest thing you have said.
Guns a-blazing today.
Wow.
So was it the final day of the season that Andrew Romine played all 9 positions for the Tigers?
I think it was the second to last game.
Okay, so on Saturday. So the Tigers have really, you know, they're playing carnival baseball because they really have nothing else, you know, left to.
There's two things I want to say about this. So he played every position, right? He pitched all the way around the diamond. First of all, they did it on a road game.
That's stupid.
Isn't that weird? Like,
yeah.
I thought for sure this was a home game, and no, it's a road game.
That's kind of weird. That was just for Andrew then.
Right. So then the other thing that I thought was interesting was they were talking about how he was having trouble with catching. And I was like,
he's a catcher.
No, he's not a catcher.
He was a catcher.
His brother is.
Oh, okay.
Austin Romine.
Yep, I'm thinking, right.
But the whole time I'm reading the story, I'm like, how can this guy be a backup catcher in the major leagues? And the biggest problem was he can't catch.
Yeah, I was there too with that. Same thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Brothers should not be allowed to play sports at the same time. That's got to be a rule.
Yeah, especially mediocre brothers.
Ouch. John, with the vengeance.
I haven't had my breakfast yet. I'm still dealing with it.
Yes. A lot of
not to an extreme. No extremes here. This is the no extreme zone.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Just taking it out on a random baseball player sounds good.
Verbally. That's the extent of my venom.
Yeah. Yes, verbally.
So MLB World Series MVP award is now going to be named after Willie Mays, which is appropriate.
Here's the thing, and I was going to ask you, is that appropriate? He's one of the greatest players of all time, right? He's probably, top three, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Trout finishes career, Mays will be number top one. Four.
Right.
Well, Babe Ruth will always be number one because he pitched. But, like, there's nothing that anyone can do that will ever... It just, the baseball doesn't exist in a way...
Yeah, the only player that could make the Hall of Fame in two as a pitcher or as a hitter.
Yeah, so... That's just impossible. But let's say Trout. It's five, right? There's Bonds, Trout, Mays, Williams, and Ruth, right? That's mm-hmm. really what we're talking about, like the top five here.
Yes, I would agree.
Is Willie Mays a World Series MVP?
I guess he doesn't I mean, it's more of an honor for a...
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
He's for a great baseball player.
Yeah, if you're talking about, you know, like World Series, you know, you'd have to go back to the 50s Yankees and pick one of those players because they played every year. You know, so the Yogi Berra Award or the Joe DiMaggio Award.
Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, Mickey Mantle. Yeah, Mantle. Yeah.
But you can't give it to him because he's white, right?
Right.
And kind of a drunk, so that would probably... Yeah. But anyway, that's cool. And, I think Willie Mays is amazing. So
yeah. So he's an great ambassador for the game.
Yeah. Also, he was very good defensively.
Yes.
Which I know doesn't really get counted in the World Series MVP voting, but in terms of what's expected of a great player, mm-hmm. it's nice that a defensive-minded player, even if it is
player,
inappropriate for that
played
particular
both sides
award.
Of the game, really good. So I 100% love the idea of naming that award after him.
Yeah.
But I do get your point. When you think World Series, do you think Willie Mays? And I would not say that I do.
Yeah. But now we will.
Now we will. Forever and ever.
Yeah.
Future generations will be like, Willie who? Who was Willie Mays?
Also, you know, this is something that we don't really talk about, but I feel like, first of all, he's African-American, for those of you who don't know. And I feel like baseball would really do well. We were just talking about these Dominican baseball camps. I feel like baseball would do really well to do this. And I know they have the RBI program, the inner city youth or whatever, which feels like a weird thing to call that. But anyway, if we could have a place where these, you know, what's the word? Underprivileged? I don't know. Mm-hmm. What's the lower? I feel like saying class makes it sound weird. But anyway, not necessarily impoverished, but like a camp. A place these guys can go and
strictly development and I see that. Is there isn't anything that specifically addresses that as like a the Olympics for some of these Eastern Bloc countries? They used to pluck you out of grade school and develop
because it feels like it's very much like, well, if you have means, then you get to be a part of the system. And if you don't have means, you know, like a lot of these, like the high school showcases and stuff are like, they're expensive. The traveling thing, it's expensive to be a part of that. And so you take someone who doesn't have a lot of money and like, well, what are they going to do? They're going to, well, let's go to the other sports where there's less of an expense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think baseball would be smart to A, pay its minor league players more money, but that's another matter. But B, like just push down some of this money, or maybe the Players Association needs to get involved in it. But there's so much money in this league right now. Like, would it really kill the league to push $10 million into a camp program for? It's not disenfranchised. What's the word, John?
Disingenuous.
You know what? You're disingenuous. Anyway. So that's why I like them using an African-American player's names. It's, you know, there's still some racism around. I don't know if you heard.
What?
Again, everything. I don't want to go, you know.
Full racist.
Full-blown conspiracy theory here, but there's still some racism around. And anything like this that can, you know, help mitigate that, I think is awesome.
That'd be a good thing. So last headline, 50 minutes in. Major League Baseball topped 40,000 strikeouts. Is that the first time?
First time ever, 40,000 strikeouts. So when you start seeing all these pitchers fastest to X amount of strikeouts, just know that like you're going to be seeing a lot of that.
Yeah.
Home runs and strikeouts. That's what you're going to be seeing. Aaron Judge led the league in strikeouts.
And in home runs.
And in home runs.
Yeah.
And in walks. He's one of the few players in the history of baseball that have won the three true outcomes triple crown. For those of you who don't know what the three true outcomes are, there are only three outcomes in a plate appearance when a batter is up that is completely independent of the fielding. And that is
true.
A strikeout, a walk, and a home run. Everything else can be shifted to prevent. Mm-hmm. Singles, doubles, triples.
Right.
All that stuff.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So the three true outcomes. Those are the three outcomes. I mean, I guess technically a strikeout has some involvement because the catcher has to field the last strike cleanly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's called the three true outcomes. And very rarely, Babe Ruth did it a few times. It's quite an accomplishment. And I do think, man, incredible year for that guy, Aaron Judge. Incredible year.
One of the biggest records that he set was his 34th home run at Yankee Stadium broke Babe Ruth's record for home runs at home.
And you know what's interesting is I saw that stat and my first thought was that does not bode well for him for the future.
Because he hits most of them in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, so it feels like that's a bubble. That feels mm-hmm. like a bubble when it's that.
Yeah.
Like for him to get that many more at home feels like something that anyway.
The short porch there is in right field too, yeah. And he's not hitting too many home runs to right, although he has hit some.
But just in terms of like every time you see this where a player like, oh my God, their numbers at home are so much better. And other than like Coors Field and Chase Field and sometimes in Texas, even the Astros has turned into sort of a pitcher's park, even mm-hmm. though they have a short left field. Fenway Park has adjusted a little bit over time. Anyway, that's all. I don't know what to say.
Okay.
Amazing Let's player. Move. I wish he wasn't on the Yankees, but he is. So, too bad.
Okay, starting nine.
In
honor of Tom Petty.
May the great Tom peace. Petty.
Nine players with Tom Petty album names.
So that's a typo. This is a typo. It was actually supposed to be song names, but I wrote
song names.
Album. So song
yeah,
names.
But the album names would have made it tough.
Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. Album names was too easy.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was too easy. The problem was, I don't think a lot of people know all the Tom Petty album titles.
I would agree.
I only knew two, so only two sound familiar. So we're going to do this. We're going to have some fun with the great Tom Petty. First up, You Darvish Got Lucky.
I think Tom's smiling right now.
Freddie
that song's
Free
playing in my head.
Freddie Free Man Falling.
Okay, I'm good.
Stop dragging my Donnie Hart around.
So far, so good.
I won't back Dan Yul Murphy.
I'm this the laugh track here today.
Running down a Drew Pomeranz. I was hoping there was like a Dream or a Dram or a Drew M, but no.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, Refue Dylan G.
That's my favorite one. That's good.
Learning to Jack Fly Ready.
You had a lot of fun with these, huh?
Yes. Don't do me Ulki Cabrera that.
I'm sweating. I'm
laughing
so hard.
Melky. Anyway. And then the last one, and sending a rest in peace to the great Tom Petty, Into the Sunny Gray, Wide Open.
Nice. Nice way to end it. That reminds me, we were having a conversation last week about the Yankees rotation.
Yeah.
And you're like, I feel like we're forgetting somebody. It was Sonny Gray.
Yeah. For some reason, I keep forgetting that he's not to bring Michael McDonald into this, but I keep forgetting that he's in the starting rotation. I keep forgetting Sonny Gray's on the team.
That's a good impression.
Thank you.
Nicely done. So that's starting nine, and Tom Petty will be it's the soundtrack for many people's lives, and definitely has a place in my story. I've seen him in concert a few times, and it was a big part of my college days. So definitely a tough one to especially after it.
Yeah.
So, Monday was not the happiest day. So we're moving on. Things will get better. And we have the baseball playoffs to look forward to. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing that you have for the next segment.
We're not going to do it. I just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, that's what I figured you wanted to do. Like, okay, so what are we going to do moving forward now that we don't really need the Are You Buying It because it's after the season. So you have like seventh inning stretch, revitalizing that a little bit, or maybe having something that's more of a
because it's the off season, right? Like,
yeah,
I was thinking, oh, maybe the off season is the time to start, you know, killing. There's going to be a lot less headlines in the off season.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then I was thinking, like, should we? And maybe the solution here is to do both and see how that goes. But I was thinking of doing like a rumor mill, you know, like hot stove talk, you know, like what are, you know, what players looking to sign, get traded, all that kind of stuff. So maybe we'll just do kind of both.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like if we don't like the seventh inning stretch that we wind up doing, we can cut that. Or if we don't like the, if the rumor mill winds up being basically just headlines, extended headlines.
Yeah. It could easily become that because the headlines will be a lot of the rumor.
That's what I feel like. Yeah. That's what I feel like. It might be a redundant thing. So, but we'll try it next week or the next time we do one and then see how it goes.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So that moves us into extra innings.
Yeah.
Taking a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball.
And outside of it.
And outside of it, right?
Outside it looks of like it.
A pretty darn short list.
It is a short list.
So our the other news and loss in the last week, some people don't see it as a loss at all based on the negative commentary that's come out since his passing, and that's Hugh Hefner. So you have here is laid to rest in an ultra-private ceremony. I'm sure you have something teed up for that. It just is just reeking of being teed up.
Look, I have no idea. Like, I have no real opinion about him, right? Like, so if he's a bad person or a good person, I think he's both, right? So, like most people are. Like, he's a pornographer, sure, but then also he was a very strong defender of the First Amendment. Maybe he used the First Amendment in a way that I wouldn't have necessarily. Bless his heart. He was also very helpful to some people and, you know, obviously caused some people to have terrible lives and get ruined. But he's laid to rest in an ultra-private ceremony, I thought was very fitting for a man who was so public. I don't have a joke here, John. I'm not doing a joke.
Okay.
I thought
you had something just ready
to
go.
If I had a punchline, I would have just done a punchline.
Okay. I thought you were setting up something there. And
No, that was just the headline.
Okay. Wow, I really misread that one.
Oh.
I thought there was going to be...
Oh, I see. Yeah. No. Yeah. No, I don't have a punchline set up for it.
So the ultra-private ceremony, I just assumed was going to be the kind of like, you know...
Like, how about something like, so now he decides to...
To keep it private.
Keep it private?
Yeah.
So I guess there was no center spread?
Yeah, he was... he was
they spread his ashes throughout the grotto.
Throughout the grotto.
To mix amongst the sexually transmitted diseases and semen.
It was a staple-free funeral.
All right, we can do jokes. We can do Hugh Hefner jokes.
Well, I just, you know, one of those things that the guy, he lived his life as a reality show.
It's a caricature, right? Yeah. Like, he went from being like this, wow, this guy's like a playboy. Oh, what a playboy. Look, he's listening to jazz. Frankly, that's the thing that's the most disgusting to me. Like, yeah, pornography, people have their different opinions about the nude female form, but the jazz, come on. Hugh, please. You're killing us.
I think it was more the pipe and the silk jammies and the robe and the...
I'm talking about the Playboy clubs, which then went out of style because of feminism and stuff, which is fine because it's kind of weird and kind of... sexist.
Strip clubs are much better.
Strip clubs are, look, the thing is, like, go all the way, right?
Right.
It's a little bit full. Like Hooters, which, by the way, I will say, I've been to Hooters twice, and neither time was my waitress...
flashed you?
No, large, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean...
Wasn't the Hooters prototype?
These are the waitresses that were like, They were there because they were actually fans of owls.
I thought that was a prerequisite for Hooters.
No, no. Usually it's big boobs.
And this one wasn't? It was just big in general?
No, this was just, no, like, you know, a waitress. Like a, I don't want to say flat chested because it wasn't like a
normal waitress wearing, like, you know, an orange pair.
Now I feel like I'm totally objectifying these women. I'm just saying, when I go into a place called Banana Slings, I want to see a guy with a big old wang.
Right, right.
You know, if I go into Hooters, the waitresses have big boobs.
Right.
That's the point. I don't care about your chicken wings.
I'm there for the Hooters, for the owls.
Gosh, false advertising.
Yeah. So our only other extra innings item
is
LeVar Ball saying he's going to pull LaMelo from school. And he says he's blaming coaches and administrators for this move.
Yeah, apparently he's going to homeschool him and train him himself. And I got to say, John, I love this guy. I don't know where LeVar Ball has been all our lives, but I love having a crazy person like this. It's basically like it's a basketball Kardashian thing.
Yes, it is.
Like, fame hungry. And now, granted, it takes more skill to put a ball into a hoop than it does to put a wah into a mouth. But there's some similarities there with these two families.
Mm-hmm. And this is LaMelo the high schooler or the at UCLA?
No, he's the high schooler.
Okay, so he's only a sophomore, right?
Right. So there's three of them, right? So there's I don't know, they're all Loves, right?
Right.
There's the one on the Lakers, there's the one that's just starting with the Bruins, right?
Mm-hmm. And then
there's one in high school. And this guy's all over the team, and I love it. I love this is like a carnival barker.
Yeah, but it means we're going to be dealing with this for the next 20 years.
No, that's what I'm saying. Get ready for it.
Right.
We're going to be keeping up with the balls. We're going to be balls deep, John, for 20 years.
Right. Balling with the balls.
It's going to be awful.
It is going to be awful. So is there nothing else? That's it? There's no other?
That's it. I mean, look, it happened, right? And, like, I don't want to talk about that stuff. But also that sort of put a damper on everything else. So the Patriots lost to the Panthers this weekend. Mm-hmm. That was a surprise. And the Patriots are 2-2. But, like, no one wants to talk about that. There's nothing really happening in football.
Yeah, the Patriots.
The kneeling
and the Jets.
Thing is, like, less of a thing now because it is more important than the kneeling, which is apropos.
Yes, conspiracy theories that Trump organized all that just to take the focus off of the kneeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be out there soon.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Hey, look, if Obama can kill Paul Walker with a drone strike, anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Well, on that note, we'll end the show with how we started the show. Thoughts and prayers and nothing but positive energy sent out to the folks in Las Vegas and anyone affected by what happened there.
Yes, I agree with that.